Now, what about using Google AdSense or one of those other types of things on, for example, on your affiliate website that you have for dating?
I think that's, you know, it's valid in some cases if there aren't a lot of products. You may, depending on how you set up your website, like if you've got a WordPress blog going and you put AdSense in a sidebar, it's probably going to it's going to show up in the sidebar of every one of your pages, including your homepage, unless you've designated a specific homepage, which you can do, but which most people don't know or don't do. And that is the last thing you want to put on your homepage, because you're making cents on the dollar, right? Which makes no sense, especially when you're selling big products for big commissions. You know, like, why would you want to make 3 cents when you can earn, you know, $200 selling a $2,000 treadmill?
Right. Yep.
Right? So you've got to get them, you've got to drive them to the page that they're interested in. Actually, if you're using pay-per-click advertising, you're going to do that anyway. You're going to drive them to the specific page on your site that sells the product that, you know, that you talked about in your ad. I'm not a huge AdSense fan. I know lots of people who are, but they're not really, that's their product. All they do is, you can start a blog and chit chat about your life and your travels and your, you know, if you're in college or something like that and you're, studying to become a doctor or whatever, and you could talk about what you learned every day, and you could AdSense that, right? Because it might bring up medical products and problems, which, you know, that people pay huge bucks to advertise, and so now you're earning a portion of what they're paying per click. That could be well worthwhile doing, but and then you can, you know, maybe add a few products in there. Who knows? Although I don't know whether I would want to take advice from a medical student. Right? You know, maybe if they're selling bandages or something, I don't know. But so if there aren't a lot of products within your particular niche, and that's all you want to do is blog all day long, AdSense would be a great way to go, or any one of its alternatives. And there's a whole bunch of alternatives, including those names that I cannot think of at the moment, Contera.
Yeah.
And Context Click or something like that. Anyway, there are a whole bunch of them.
Right, okay. Now, what about the final portion on looking at the business side of things, is preventing commission theft. How do you prevent people from actually stealing your affiliate commissions?
I think there's just way too much concern about that. That's a problem in the business opportunities market, or if you're selling affiliate marketing products to, you know, affiliate marketers, because they know about affiliate IDs and links, and the temptation there is for them to look for the ID and just swap it out with their own. But in other niches, you know, if you're doing mainstream stuff and such as dating or whatever, most of the people that come to your website have absolutely no idea. It's, you know, a link is a link is a link, and however they get to the site is however they get to the site. The cookie is set, and if they make the purchase that day or within the time frame set by the merchant, then you're going to get credit for the sale. So, like, I don't worry about it. I mean, it's kind of like running an offline business, if you will. A certain amount of theft is to be expected. You know, or if you're running a grocery store, there's a certain amount of spoilage, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who just get so wound up about, you know, like, oh, I lost a, you know, $2 commission. That's not where the focus should be. The focus should be on making more money and, you know, sharing the wealth with those thieves.
Help make the thieves wealthier.
Yeah. You know, even if you're... You know, don't focus on the 5% if it's that high that you're losing. Focus on the 95% that you're making. It'll
right.
make you feel a lot happier.
Perfect. Now, if we move into looking at marketing, Roslyn, I think this is where a lot of people end up kind of coming up short. You know, it's easy to set up a website. It's easy to join a bunch of affiliate programs. And the difficult part is actually getting traffic to the website to be able to get, you know, people obviously to make purchases, and then you can get your commission. What's your absolute favorite, most biggest way that you get traffic to your websites?
Oh, I've only mentioned it about 100 times already.
I just want to make it clear.
Yes. Pay-per-click advertising, you got to love it. You know, like there's Yahoo Search Marketing and Google, Neva, Microsoft Ad Center now, which is proving to be really quite valuable. You may not get the same amount of traffic from them, but the conversions are really good from them. And what pay-per-click advertising is you know, for me, online dating would be one of my keywords, and you want to have a lot of different keywords. And so for a non or a generic keyword like that, then I would probably I would create an ad that says, you know, well, actually, I've got, you know, like avoid online dating scams is one of them, and you know, come to my site, basically, right on the ad. And so somebody clicks on that ad, and it costs me a certain amount of money. And what they do is they do it on a bid system. So the higher you bid, the closer you come to the top of all of those other advertisers, right, of the list of advertisers, and the more traffic you will get. Now, you don't necessarily always want to be at the top, especially with Google AdWords, because, you know, think about it. What kind of person do you want coming to your website? Somebody who's really looking for a product, or somebody who is just going to click on the first thing that they see? You probably want the first type. So if you put yourself down in the third or fourth or fifth spot on the, you know, in Google AdWords, and again, those are the sponsored listings that you see on the right-hand side of the page, that person has actually taken a look at the first ad, the second ad, the third ad, and the fourth ad. And if they like what they see, and they click on your ad, the chances of them converting to a sale are much greater than if they just, you know, willy-nilly click on everything that they see. And the trick with pay-per-click advertising, of course, is to make your landing page highly relevant to the ad, to what you promised in the ad. You know, so if you talk about learn how to avoid online dating scams, then when they get to your site, that better be the first topic that you address. Right?
Right. Yep.
And, you know, you might be selling a book on, you know, different scams, you know, stuff to be wary of, or you might, you know, like it might just be an article on your site, and then they go, wow, that's really good. I got my, you know, like I got the information that I wanted, and I'll take, more of a look around this site. This person obviously knows what they're talking about. And that's when you start to make friends and influence people, and then they hopefully sign up for your newsletter. Well, of course, you've got your... You know, you've got incentive for them to sign up for that newsletter, and once you get them on your list, keep them on your list.
So what?
Sorry.
Now, what do you have as far as kind of ratios? How many clicks do you end up getting compared to how many sales that you get from them clicking through?
That all, you know, that really depends on the product and the price of the product, and I would hope that I'm going to get at least one sale in 100 clicks.
Okay.
That would be the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on the product and the price of the product.
So you really have to monitor, especially when you're using pay-per-click, you really have to monitor how much you pay per the click as opposed to how much you're actually getting for the actual commission of the product that you're selling?
When you are first starting out, I mean, there's guys who are completely anal about monitoring every single click, and they're in their accounts every single day, like several times a day. I am not that person.
Okay.
I am, you know, how much money did I make this month, and how much money did I spend this month?
Right.
And I've been like that for years. And so, like, I don't have a whole lot of accounting to do. But when you are starting out, absolutely, and I did it too. You know, like I would be in my account probably 10 times a day. You know, how much money have I spent so far, and how many sales have I made? And fortunately, most of the merchants provide real-time sales tracking, so you can see. You know, like if at 6 o'clock this morning you had 10 clicks to your site and you made one sale, that's a good thing, right? And then at you might want to check again 3 hours later and see, you know, how many clicks there are. And it's a real good way of just testing a campaign. So if you bring on a new product on board, such as, you know, the Arab dating site or something like that, then you want to create a separate campaign that goes to a separate page and about that particular product, and test it out and watch it and see whether those are converting sales. And if it's not, then what you want to do is, think about how, you know, what you're seeing in your ad campaign, what your ad says, maybe doesn't relate to what you're saying on your page, or, you know, are you sending the right traffic? Because, of course, most of that that traffic can be geographically targeted. So, you know, like if you're targeting, you know, if you've set it up to, you know, get clicks from Denmark and you're trying to sell them Arab Lounge, it's probably not going to work.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So whenever you're doing the pay-per-click advertising on that in that respect, do you look at it just from the perspective of getting the clicks to the site and getting them to buy a specific product, or do you also take into account that maybe that person, they might not buy the product, but they might sign up for your newsletter, which could be more valuable than actually buying the product and not coming back to your site?
I am more of the broad brush person. Okay. You know, once again, there's so many different ways you can do this, and if you don't have a list, boy, you better be looking at specific products. And then, so that's the nice thing about doing the list marketing,
yeah.
And because you know you can kind of, you know, if they don't buy something, then you still have that list, and or you can still build that list. And not only that, but your site could break tomorrow, like big time. Maybe your server, you know, there's a hurricane in whatever, Florida or something like that, and it topples where your server resides or something like that. But you know what? You still got your list.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And you could, you know, write them a little note that says, "Oh, poor me. You know, I'm going broke here, Ed, because my, you know, the hurricane something hit my server, and I haven't made any money today. So maybe you'd like to buy this." I don't know.
That's a new marketing tactic. You call it sob marketing.
Yeah, the poor me approach.
The poor me marketing. Oh, I like that. That's good. Whenever we look at other ways, actually, I should ask you first, do you use other ways of marketing, or is it just strictly pay-per-click now?
No, it's I get about probably half my traffic through search engines, and what's really cool is that, well, A, the longer your site's been online, you know, you've established authority, but even with a brand new blog, because blogging is... it's fresh, you know, it's fresh content. The search engines love that. The spiders show up several times a day, and the more you blog, the more they show up, and, you know, the more credibility you basically have, especially if it's unique content. It's not, you know, you're not just taking an RSS feed from another site and just reposting that content, because it's, you know, they're going to see that you're duplicating content, and
right.
You might just get kicked out of the engines. So, you know, blog technology is why I insist that people, you know, at least consider incorporating a blog or making their site nothing but a blog, because that's super for search engine traffic. And then the other thing is article marketing. It's maybe not as effective as, it's certainly not as effective as blogging and PPC, but it does have its value. And if you take about 20-25% of the articles that you write and put them up on article directories, people are going to find those articles, and you've given them permission to post them on their site. And what that does, of course, if they're playing by the rules, that includes a link from your resource box back to your site. And it's been really interesting. We just started a travel blog here a little while back, and in addition to getting search engine traffic, what I'm seeing on an almost daily basis is that people are taking the, you know, one or two articles that I've written in the travel category, and I've placed it up on the article directories, and people are actually reposting that on their site. And so every time they do that, that's a link back to my site, and Google loves links back to your site.
Fantastic. So is there any type of marketing that you would say that you would stay away from?
Black hat. Anything that, you know, like cross-linking and using, here's a trick that people used to use in the past, was that they would, you know, insert a huge number of keywords and make that the same color as the background so that it wouldn't be seen by visitors, but it would be seen by the engines. Well, the engines know when you've done that, and so that's just stupid, if I can say that,
yeah.
Using any of that trickery. Right, go through Google's terms and conditions, right? They post all their stuff quite prominently for webmasters to see, so that webmasters will do a better job of providing, you know, like making for basically a good web. And so if you abide by what they recommend, your site will do well. I don't like the scammy techniques at all.
Right. That's might work today, but it won't work tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's been so many people who have, you know, lost their businesses completely when their sites were delisted.
Right.
Which is crazy. You know, like, why risk that?
Exactly. Now, you mentioned something just a minute ago was building your list. And basically email marketing as well.
Right.
When
I love email marketing. Yeah, put that at number two, I think.
So we got pay-per-click first, email marketing second.
Yep.
Can you explain to me how you manage your lists and how many emails you actually send to these people, content, all that type of thing?
It depends on the market. I've been really bad with my dating site of late. I'm getting a little bit better now. Again, I used to, because that was the only category that I worked in, that was the only thing I had to concentrate on. And here's a big point. Don't spread yourself too thin. You know, like don't expect that you can set up 100 different sites on 100 different topics and have an email list for each one of those. That, you know, that's better suited to the, just strictly PPC.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do, you know, like even two big content sites, gets to be a little bit difficult to manage from time to time for me. I have, a big content site in the marketing world, and I have a big content site in the dating world, and I have a whole lot more going back and forth with the affiliate webmasters and the new webmasters who want to learn. I think they're more fun to talk to, right? And so I spend more time with them, and I do a weekly newsletter, and then I might do, you know, several different blog posts during the week, or not do any additional blog posts during the week. It all depends on what I want my week to look like. You know, if I want to go out and play golf every day, then I'm probably not going to be blog posting every day.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can do that any way you want to. However, if you do only have one content site, then I highly recommend that you do post. And as long as it's quality information, you know, don't post for the sake of posting.
Right.
The whole thing is that you build yourself up as a credible source of information within that particular market, and develop a list of loyal subscribers and blog readers. And have fun with it, because the more fun you have with it, the more fun people are going to have. The more they're going to enjoy themselves as well, and then you develop that connection and create a dialogue, and it just goes back and forth, and it's a wonderful thing.
That's cool. I wonder if we can look at some of the stories that you've experienced in your past. What is it now? I guess about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. What are some of the really exciting successes that you've had along the way?
That I've had along the way?
Yeah.
Sending out a single email and making 15 or 20 grand, that's exciting.
Wow. Tell me about that one. What did you do?
Well, that's what I did. I sent out a single email and to promote a particular product. And, I've been building up to, that particular product for a while. And that's another, there's a trick. When you don't promote with each and every contact that you make, or every email you send, or with every blog post that you make, right? People go, okay, she's not just selling to me. She's trying to inform me. She's trying to give me. She's giving me good information. I like this person, you know.
Right.
And so then when you come across something that you really, 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 really like, it's a tool that you use in your business, or it's whatever it is, right? But you come across something that you really like and you're enthusiastic about, and you tell them about it, they're going to listen. They're far more likely to listen than if you sell a product every time you speak to them. Actually, they're probably not going to stay on your list for too long if you do that.
So how do you go, how big is this list?
That particular list isn't all that big, as a matter of fact. It was less than 40,000 people at the time.
Wow. So how did you do it? You built up to a specific product, or... you did just what you said. You just basically give them a lot of good information, and then suddenly you recommended this product.
I was concentrating on a particular topic within a niche for a while. It was probably, I would say that I, for the previous month or to 6 weeks, I've been talking a lot about a particular aspect of that market, and then finally, basically said, oh, and now here's something you must do if you really want to be successful at this.
Right. Can you tell us what it was?
No.
The top secret project?
Well, no, not exactly. But
let's look at the other side of it. Have you done anything that has happened that you end up feeling, that was a real failure? It was kind of a flop, didn't really work?
Oh, yeah. And I wrote about it, too. How to lose 14,000 subscribers overnight. I mentioned that... that I hadn't been in touch with my singles list because I was, you know, spending so much time with my marketing people, because that's what I wrote the book, and I go and I speak at conferences, and I, you know, like all within that area. I don't work in the, you know, I don't do those same things in the singles arena, and if I did, then, you know, that would be, you know, that would be great too if I had that kind of a time, or there were two of me. once again, I have totally forgotten what you asked me.
Looking to see what kind of failures or disappointments, how you ended up losing 14,000 people on a list.
Yeah, right. It's interesting how I forgot that. So anyway, I wasn't in touch with these people for a long time. It was, you know, probably several months. And all of a sudden I send them an email. You know, I might have come across a product, and, you know, I just sent out a little promotional bulletin, and wham, 14,000 subscribers gone overnight. Now, they probably didn't know who I was. You know, and not only that, but they're getting this, you know, sales message out of the blue. So, you know, like, it goes against everything that I believe in. And now when I'm, you know, like, I'm working a little bit more on this, on the singles thing, I'm just sending them information. I'm just, you know, like, I'm just going to keep sending them information, not sell them anything for a while, for probably a long time. They can come back to the site and, you know, if they see a dating service that they're interested in. But mostly I'm just going to concentrate on, you know, talking to them about the mechanics of online dating.
So how big was this list before you lost 14,000 people?
Oh, it was about 150,000. So, you know, but still, I mean, it's
still, that's almost a significant chunk.
Almost 10%, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. Now, what is it that in the early days, back in 1998 when you first started, and, you know, you start into affiliate marketing, you don't really know if it's going to make you any money. You don't know if it's going to, you know, even pan out, whether it works or not. What is it that actually kept you going and kept you motivated?
The first check.
And
the first check for $10.99, and basically what I said was, cool, this is real. I'm going to make, that was $11. I'm going to make $22 next month, and I'm going to make $44 next month. But, of course, it worked out that, you know, like, I made much more than that the second month and the third month. And, you know, for a long time there, I was, it was just the, my objective was to double my income. Now, that would be really nice if I could do that today, month to month.
Next month will be a million. Like, following month is two.
Yeah. I wouldn't be working. I just wouldn't be working anymore. Or I would have hired like a whole team of writers, and they could, you know, pretend they were me. And
there you go, cloning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, I was having fun doing it. It was, you know, it was a challenge. It was fun to play with. Like, I wasted so much time designing stupid little graphics as logos, and I had, in the beginning, you know, before I started making money, I just, you know, I did this little gardening site, and the objective was never to make money. It was just to, well, it was a seed exchange more than anything, so it was a hobby. And so I taught myself how to, you know, how to do web design. Not very good, but I could, you know, like I could get a web page on, you know, online. And, you know, I think that the overwhelming desire for money that, you know, that I see so much, especially in the business opportunities category, is what kills people's businesses. Like, they never even get started because it's just money, instead of, you know, having fun and connecting with people of like minds.
Right.
It's just, you know, the world works in pretty set ways, and it's, you know, if your motivation is to help others succeed, and that you've got something worthwhile to share with them, it's all going to come back to you in spades. But if all you want to do is take, then it just doesn't work.
What do you see as, I think that you probably just touched on a big one there, as one of the biggest affiliate mistakes out there right now is to kind of chase the money as opposed to chasing what you want to do or doing what you want to do. What are some of the other mistakes that you see that the common affiliate is making?
Not building a list. You know, if they've got a big site, like I looked at a site just this morning. I was looking through some supposed success stories, and I went to the site, and, you know, how disappointing. Really nice site. It's actually about interior decorating, and this person obviously has an awful lot to share, and they haven't built a list. And just like, wow, you know, how to cut your income down by you know, she probably could increase her income tenfold, if not, you know, 20 times, simply by, you know, having a list.
Sounds like she needs a phone call from Rosalind.
Sounds like
it. The consulting customer.
yeah.
So what else? I mean, other than you know, you've got people that aren't building lists, you've got people that are chasing money. Is there anything else that you see online that really kind of hits you as, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm seeing this?
Well, there's all sorts of little things, just, you know, not concentrating on design, making the site visitor friendly. You know, it should be seamless. People should know what the site's all about when they first arrive. Navigation needs to be consistent from page to page. Even things as seemingly inconsequential as color, you know, like, yellow font on black background, blah, blah, right? I can't read that, and
yeah.
Not only that, but it's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's extremely huge and you're talking about bumblebees. you have to be kind of brutal and get people to review, you know, what do you think, right? Or go into a webmaster forum and don't hold back, you know, tell them. Don't hold back, tell me exactly what you think. And if people are willing to spend their time doing that, then listen to them. And spending money on, I guess, investing in your education. Like, I spend tens of thousands of dollars every single year acquiring new products and from the educational side, and only to, you know, pick up an idea or two or whatever that's going to make me much more than tens of thousands of dollars.
That's perfect. And what would a typical day in your life be?
All depends on the day, Terry.
Well, let's take today, for example.
Today.
Maybe we should say yesterday, since we've already done yesterday.
This is a little bit different. I'm currently in the process of getting ready to go on a long trip. I'm going to be away for just about a month, and so what I'm doing now is I'm pre-populating both my blog and my broadcast portion of my autoresponder. To deliver a bunch of material while I'm away, so that I don't have to, you know, like, I've still got continuity. Nobody's going to know that I'm gone until after I get back.
Right.
Unless they, you know, happen to contact our support desk and have a specific question that my virtual assistant can't answer. I will be in touch from time to time, but my motivation on this trip is basically not to even look at the computer.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be hard to do, and I don't think I'll be that successful. But, you know, if I only look at it every 4 days or 5 days or something like that, that'll be a huge success.
Yeah.
So I was busy yesterday working on articles. I've got a thing this afternoon where I'm doing an e-com expo presentation. So I put together my PowerPoint. That took about half an hour or something like that, because it was already, the Word document was already prepared. And I was going over what I was going to say, because we have to record stuff.
Right.
So I put together, let's see, I wrote one article, and I put together the outlines for three more articles, plus that PowerPoint thing, and I sat in on a call, a training call. Altogether, I probably worked for about 5 hours.
And that's a hectic day for you.
That was a hectic day. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So that's what we could look forward to as beginning affiliate marketers, that eventually when we get to the point where you're at, we could look at a 5-hour day being a hectic day.
I would hope so. I mean, I know other super affiliates who have offices outside the home, and they have staff, because they're search arbitrage affiliates, which means that they only do PPC. They may go directly to the merchant, they may go to landing pages or something like that, and so they're constantly having to keep track of their search campaigns and changing up with the seasons and designing new campaigns for Christmas and whatever else. So they put in 8 hours a day, and then they go home. Or they go home and they work on another project or something like that.
Right.
So that's not the kind of affiliate that that I would ever want to be.
No.
I like having that. I'm the quintessential lazy affiliate. I like having that that freedom to step back and take that kind of time off.
I think that sounds like a much better lifestyle. The other one sounds more like a job.
Exactly.
That's not so fun.
No.
Well, just before we wrap things up, Roslyn, do you have any last words of advice for the person who's either just starting out wanting to become an affiliate or an affiliate who's, you know, maybe been around for 6 months or so and just kind of fumbling around, not really getting it? Do you have any kind of last words of advice for those people?
Sure, buy my book.
Actually, that's very good advice. And I can give you a testimonial for that one, because that is a fantastic book.
Thank you.
Why don't you can tell people where they find that?
I really think that what you need to do is just do it and keep working on it, and you know, rather than just reading book after book after book after book, take what you learn from one book and implement what they've had to say, especially if you know that they've, you know, like hopefully if you buy a book, that person has some credibility and they know what they're doing. And so take one of the things that they have to say about pay-per-click advertising, and, you know, start small, and, you know, put together one campaign. Don't expect to put together a campaign for every product on your site. Start with one campaign and monitor it and make sure that it's working before you get on to the next one. I think a lot of people quit before, you know, the only way you're guaranteed to fail is if you quit.
Yeah.
And the only way you're guaranteed to succeed is if you just keep going.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, what website can you refer people to? You mentioned your book, The Super Affiliate Handbook. Where is that?
SuperAffiliateHandbook.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Do you have any other, if somebody wanted to contact you, how's the best way to go about that?
Through my other site, my information site for webmasters, it's netprofitstoday.com, and there's all sorts of freebie information up there for affiliate marketers and internet marketers, and yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's perfect. Thank you very, very much for your time, Roslyn. It's been just an absolutely fantastic workshop. I think affiliates everywhere will benefit from listening to this and being able to follow the hands-on advice of how to start off from the whole thing, right from the research to setting up your affiliate business, right through marketing and developing your own stories as far as that goes. You've been listening to Roslyn Gardner from, we could say, netprofitstoday.com, as well as superaffiliatehandbook.com, and myself, Terry Telford, from thebusinessprofessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.